Welcome to We Are The Watchers. Tom. And Leah. Are The Watchers.
Welcome to We Are The Watchers, episode 79?
It is?
It is.
Whoa.
Today, it is.
What? In French, that would be like 60 plus 10 plus 9.
Yeah, it gets to a certain number where they start doing weird things.
Math.
Yeah.
Just use numbers, French people.
I remember a French person trying to explain it to me and I just went, huh? And then she pointed out that in English there's lots of stupid stuff as well. I went, yeah, fair enough.
Sure.
Oh, this week has been a week of me just contemplating Game of Thrones stuff.
Oh, really?
Well, it's all finished. It's all over.
Yes.
And whilst you can listen to the recording that we did a couple of days ago with our thoughts about the last episode and our thoughts about what might have happened after the first episode and our thoughts about what we want in the prequels, I'm still going to sprinkle a few little Game of Thrones-y bits in here because it won't be spoilery, it's just newsy
stuff.
Just
news stuff.
Yeah. I've watched a fair bit. We've got a quiz. I suspect you've got a lot of news.
I got a big bag of news.
You've always got news. It's great.
There's so much news lately.
Just love it. Well, do we want to talk about Game of Thrones first?
Sure, why not?
So Game of Thrones had a lot of people watching HBO over in the US.
Yes.
In fact, the most they've ever had watching HBO. I think the numbers were, so with the first viewing, which was at 11 a.m. our time, over in the US, they got 13.6 million. That number bumped up to 19.3 after people caught second goes or whatever.
Yes.
A lot of people.
I saw it was 14.2% higher than the season 7 finale.
You know, I can't even remember what happened in the season 7 finale. It was just Daenerys going, I'm on a boat, y'all.
No,
she was already there, wasn't she?
That's right. Season 7, the second last one was when they went to get the white. And then they had the fight against the Ice King and Loss Viserion. And then the last episode was taking the white to Cersei and her going, oh, yeah, I'll join you guys.
Yeah, I'm going to help. Smirk. Yeah. Mm. Well, I also saw that Foxtel released their numbers about how many people watched. And in the live airings, they got 1.076 million.
Huge.
Which is a lot of people. Like, that's Australia.
That's one in 25 people.
Yeah. And it went up to 1.4 million after people got around to watching it back again. But a lot of viewings, and HBO and I would imagine Foxtel and whoever else picked up Game of Thrones across the world will now be scrambling to try and get the numbers going again.
But yeah, they won't get those numbers ever again. Mm-mm. I don't think ever. There's nothing really can match it. I got some numbers to put in perspective of how big it was.
Yeah, go on.
So this is a premium cable show, so people have to pay not just for cable but that on top to get. So to get good ratings can be a bit difficult. As you say, they ended up 19.3 million. The other big finale that happened this week that neither of us gave a fuck about was the Big Bang Theory wrapping up.
Yeah, yeah.
And that clocked in at 18.5.
Now, that's interesting because that's on free-to-air television over in the US, isn't it?
Yes.
CBS, I think?
Yeah, and they've had consistently huge numbers. So that's a little bit different to Game of Thrones because a lot of people watch Game of Thrones in their own time and so they don't get the same ratings. But That's pretty impressive that it beat Big Bang Theory.
Particularly because Big Bang Theory has been around for longer, I think. Not by a lot, maybe a couple of seasons.
I think they did 12 years, I think.
But to have two huge shows that were successful throughout the years finish on the same week, there's a lot of people just going, oh, what's this
next
big empty hole in my life?
Well, as I say, putting things into perspective, though, that's a lot of people watching. Mm. Do you know how many people watch the end of MASH?
How many?
106 million.
Oh.
Yeah. So.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, as much as people say biggest show ever, it wasn't. That was MASH.
I don't know if I ever saw the last episode of MASH. I know it happened, but I don't think I actually saw it.
I can't even remember. I saw it when I was very young.
No, it's always on repeat.
Yeah.
You know,
I imagine it involved a helicopter taking off.
What?
Rather than landing.
When I was little, I thought MASH was a serious show. I don't know why, because it had canned laughter in it. But I thought it was a serious show, maybe because it was war and hospitals.
Well, the movie was a little more serious.
Yeah, it was.
A touch more serious.
Yeah.
The show that knows more than Jon Snow. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
Game of Thrones, let's stick to that for a second because I did see a few people, well, by a few people I mean pretty much everybody on the internet talking about it. I want to talk about Carrie Payton first off, who you're thinking, hang on a second,
why
he's a king.
Why you bring up Ezekiel?
I quite liked what he said.
What did he say?
Twitter, he said, y'all, Ned won, long game. That I don't want to say too much in case it's a fresh way to look at it that I didn't think of.
It's a hot take.
Yeah, hot take. Sophie Turner's not happy, Jan.
When is she?
I like her. I think she's really sassy and funny.
Mm.
She said, this was about the petition, she said, all these petitions and things like that, I think it's really disrespectful to the crew and the writers and the filmmakers who have worked tirelessly, that's a hard word to say.
Tirelessly.
Thank you. Over 10 years and for 11 months shooting the last season. She said, like 50-something night shoots, so many people worked so, so hard on, and for people to just rubbish it just because it's not the way they want to see it is just disrespectful. Look, I understand her point of view for sure. I understand that this is something that she knows how much work went into, and she also can see that people want to sign petitions because deep down, and this is what I believe, deep down people are not happy because it's ended. And it's ended their theories, like your own theories. It's ended your fun in doing predictions, like what you think's going to happen next in the next episode. That's all done. We can't have those conversations anymore. And I think that's why people are disappointed.
Look, I think it is partly that. I agree. I also think that it strayed so far from what the show was at the beginning. And just in terms of, it turned into a plot machine, whereas it used to be a hardcore character study. And I think that's where some people's frustration is also stemming from. Look, I went through this with Lost, and there are a lot of people who still really dislike the ending of Lost. I quite enjoyed it, but I completely respect that some people weren't satisfied with the ending, and they went in, they'd spent 6 years with the show wanting answers to the mysteries, when in reality the show was about the people on the island, their journey, and getting to redemption. And the finale ticked all those boxes. So they stayed true to the characters of the show, but people didn't get the answers they desired. So it's exactly what you're saying
there.
Yeah,
yeah.
And I think that's just baked into the DNA of a show that's built around mystery, is that, you're going to be disappointed when some of your theories don't pay off. That's part of it. But J.J. Abrams has this theory about the mystery box. As a child, he got given a box by his grandfather that had a giant question mark on it, a mystery box, what could be inside. Mm. He's never opened it because whatever is in his mind is 1,000 times better than what could possibly be in that box. And that's the nature of mysterious storytelling, is that you want to reveal enough to give satisfying answers, but not so much that the allure is taken away.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's true. If you don't finish a book, if you don't finish a TV series, a video game, whatever, it's never finished for you. It's still continuing.
That's right. It's a living entity.
Yeah. Having said that, watching the end of Game of Thrones, I still felt like that world, that universe, is still living on.
Yeah.
It's just that we're not watching it.
And that's – well, we got into that the other
day.
We
did, yeah.
We got into that more. So we'll leave it behind the spoilers in case you haven't listened. But there's a lot – they left it leaving left it breathing.
Yeah, that's exactly right. All right, let's get into some different news.
Oh, I've just got one last Game of Thrones.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
No, that's okay. It's nothing to do with Game of Thrones, but it's what someone's doing next. Arya Stark is going to be busy. She's going to be one of the – I don't know if it's guest judge or full judge on the UK version of RuPaul's Drag Race.
She's going to be great.
Yes. So I believe it's her, Alan Carr, and Graham Norton are the celebrity judges.
That's a nice mix. I also like the fact that her next job after Game of Thrones is completely different.
Yeah.
She's just going to go check. I mean, was that her first ever acting gig? I'm pretty sure it was Game of Thrones.
It'd have to be.
She was pretty young.
First prominent one. Anyway.
Yeah. And to spend, a whole chunk of her life
on that,
and now suddenly getting out and being able to do something really different and to be herself in it as well.
I think she's going to do some strong eyebrow work.
Oh, yeah, she's got some. Her and Emilia Clarke have got some amazing eyebrows, definitely.
Acme's number two customers, right behind Wile E. Coyote. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
All right, let's move on to other news and strap in because there's a lot of it. So we're going to go quick.
Okay.
I'll take some breaths where appropriate.
Okay, thank you.
That's just me giving you a slight pause before we begin. So firstly, they announced that there's a Mortal Kombat movie that's going to be made in Australia. They're going to be filming down in Adelaide, directed by James Wan, who is hot off Aquaman.
Oh, wow.
You know, he's in the billion-dollar club twice for films having cracked that billion-dollar
mark. All right, for some.
We don't know any other details. There's no cast. There's no nothing. This has come out of nowhere.
Announced.
But another Mortal Kombat movie. Will Johnny Cage be in it? Johnny Cage better be in it.
Otherwise, we riot.
Well, you can't have a Hollywood character in a game and do a movie and not have that character in it.
That's a really good point.
I'd be also happy with maybe some Baraka or I'd take Goro. I want some four-armed people or weird stuff from that.
You've got to expect some amazing CGI. We'll be invested in this.
Oh, yeah. And I'm telling you now, the film's tagline has to be, get over here. Like, just nothing else.
Yeah.
That's it.
And it's a great time to announce it, seeing the 11th or whatever game came out.
Yeah. It's doing well.
Yeah. It's in people's minds, which is really, really cool.
Another one. This one's got me pumped. A lot of people might go, not sure about this. So there is a Honey, I Shrunk the Kids reboot / kind of maybe sequel.
No word on who's going to be in it?
Josh Gad.
Okay.
He's going to be playing Nick Zelensky, who is the son of Wayne Zelensky from the other films. He was the one that went on the big adventure in the backyard.
He was the one in the soup, in the cereal.
Correct. He rode
what
on
was
a bee.
It, Cheerio or something.
Yeah, I think so. All sorts of mishaps there. And in the second film, he does not get turned into the big one. That's the toddler, the little baby.
Yeah.
But it's going to be Josh Gad grown up as Nick Zelensky.
I wonder if we'll see a cameo from...
I really hope so.
Yeah, me too.
Even if it's just a photo on the wall.
Yeah, a nice little reference or a Skype call.
Yes, or I'd even take a Nobel Prize awarded to Wayne Zelensky statue on the wall or something like that.
That's nice.
Now, I sent this through to you the other day of like, wow, we've spoken about this already. It looks like it's true. Robert Pattinson being Batman. So that was Variety came out strong and they were like, Robert Pattinson is Batman. And then I think it was Deadline or it was Hollywood Reporter came out and went, no, Nicholas Holt is Batman.
Uh-oh, there's now a fight between who's Batman or who says who's Batman.
And Hollywood trades going at each other. So stay tuned on that. It'll be one or the other. And apparently... Well, there's a lot of theory going that whoever doesn't get it will get the gig as there's a character called Hush, who I don't want to give too many spoilers away, but is a very mirror-ish version of Batman.
Cool.
So we could see
two English blokes going head to head.
Yes.
Amazing.
He kind of takes Batman fandom to an unhealthy level.
Oh, like Eminem's video.
Yes,
Dido
Stan.
In it. Stan, that's it. I couldn't remember the name.
It's a little
Devin
bit like
Sawa,
that.
Devin Sawa, whatever his name was.
Devin Sawa. Got a lot of time for that guy. Idle Hands, great movie.
He still does stuff.
He pops up from time to time.
I wonder if he'll pop up in this. I also saw that there were rumours that they were talking about the fact that Catwoman and Penguin will probably be in this movie.
Yes, apparently they're saying there could be up to 6 villains.
So?
Some of them would just get small roles.
Like a cameo or something. I wonder if it might be. What's his call? Scarecrow.
Mm-hmm.
He's pretty scary.
Mm-hmm.
He'd be cool.
Yes.
For them to go up against.
I imagine it'll be some sort of jailbreak from Arkham Asylum.
That makes sense. Look, I think people are always like Batman, so they're going to be anticipating a new reboot.
Yeah, bring it on. Let's see what happens. I saw The Disenchantment is coming back for another season on Netflix September 20. That is a long time away to announce a cartoon TV show coming to a streaming service.
Maybe that's an indication of how well it was received.
Yeah, I think they're feeling real good about bringing it back for
more. Yeah, that's almost them without saying their numbers, saying that their numbers were good.
Yeah, and that's me looking at it a positive light. If you want to look at really, really cynically, it's because Netflix are bricking themselves that Disney Plus is launching later the year.
Yeah.
And Simpsons has now gone over to, is it on Hulu?
I think so, yeah, which is Yeah.
You know,
there's that whole weird.
Yes, because
who
of the
owns
Fox.
What? Yeah, yeah.
But it means that there's this glaring hole, groaning sized hole on Netflix lineup now. So I think that's possibly why they're banging the drum about
it. That explains it.
Become a watcher on Facebook. Facebook.com/WeAreTheWatchers.
Hey, did you see 3 seconds pretty much after its release, they said that John Wick 4 was coming out?
Yeah.
Did you like how they released it, though? They sent it via text message to people who had signed up for updates about the third movie.
That's awesome. I'm embarrassed to say I still haven't gotten to the movies to see John Wick 3. It's been out for like 4 days now and I still haven't been. Ugh.
Oh, look, give yourself time. You've got to get down from the Game of Thrones high.
Yeah, I'm very excited for John Wick.
Look, from what I've heard so far, people really, really enjoy it.
The
third one's good.
I've just got to see Jason Mantzoukas as TikTok man.
Yeah.
I have to.
It'll happen.
Yeah.
May 2021 is when they're saying the fourth installment will come out.
21-5-21. I don't know what the significance of that is, but May 21st around that date is where the John Wick films have always dropped, and it's because it's a few weeks after Marvel movies and a few weeks before summer holidays kick off properly
in
the US.
It's a good time.
Are you hanging for a reboot of Saw?
I am always hanging for a reboot of Saw.
What about if that reboot of Saw was coming from the mind of, what, Chris Rock?
Not the name I thought you were going to attach with that.
Nope, neither did I, but apparently that's a thing.
What?
I don't know.
There's no more news about it?
Not really yet. No.
How many Saw movies were there?
I think 7.
It's a fair lot.
And it could even be up to 8.
And it has been a while.
They've been dormant for a couple of years.
Yeah.
I loved the first few. I think maybe number 4 was where it started getting too convoluted because it's got a really weird mythology and they're all out of order and this sort of stuff.
Yeah.
It just got a bit too much.
Yeah, yeah. Do you know... I have a lot of trouble remembering Saw and also Scary Movie and
sure,
separating the two of them. That's how long ago Saw was around. Scary Movie feels like it was, well, those well,
scary
movies
was,
were years ago.
I think was around 2000, maybe even 2001. Yeah, and Saw would have been about the same time.
Was Charlie Sheen in all of them or just one Scary Movie?
I believe he was in number 3. He was playing Mel Gibson's role from Signs.
Yeah. They're good movies.
He might have actually been in number 2 as well. I don't think he was in the first one.
Because there were a lot of people who were in
a lot
all
of them.
Or,
yeah.
Yeah.
And then there's a guy, I can't even remember his real name, but he raps under the name Dirt Nasty. Very, very funny guy. Simon someone, he was the main person in, I want to say, 3, 4, 5, 6, like the Scary Movie ones.
Yeah.
Simon Rex is his name. There
Simon
we go.
Rex, okay.
A lot of love for that guy. Very, very oddball.
You gotta like a good oddball. And he's quite iconic.
Mm.
Really.
Mm.
They said it couldn't be done. But I just watched them put a baby in the corner. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
Hey, speaking of iconic, Ghostbusters. So Ghostbusters 3 is a thing, we know that.
Yes.
What I didn't know is that Dan Aykroyd's actually written a script for a potential prequel.
Oh.
It's called Ghostbusters High. And it will be set in 1969, New Jersey, and it's all about how Ghostbusters first came to meet the Ghostbusters, I should say. Apparently, he's saying it can be either a movie or TV show. He said it's a neat idea because apparently it's 1968 when he speaks. It's a neat idea for a prequel. Imagine casting 3 characters as teenagers.
I want someone to stand up to Dan Aykroyd and just go, Edmure, sit down.
Do you reckon Bill Murray's the guy to do it?
Someone's got to. That sounds very poor. Did they not realise that what people didn't love about the Ghostbusters reboot was that it wasn't those Ghostbusters? I don't want to see someone pretending to be Bill Murray.
You want to be Bill? You want to see Bill Murray being Peter? Was he Peter or was he Ray?
He was Peter. Yeah.
And Dan was Ray.
Yeah.
Yeah, you want to see those guys in it again, which is why when you saw the little cameos of people, that made you happy.
Yeah. Does that mean Ernie Hudson doesn't get a look in if it's set back there? Because they don't meet Winston until...
Oh, yeah. People aren't going to be happy. They like Winston.
I don't want to see successful white people in the late 60s. Like, just...
You're going to. Whether you like it or not, you're going to.
Well, I don't know. Dan Aykroyd has a lot of big ideas. He makes a lot of promises of things that are going to happen and majority of his stuff.
Oh, he's one of those people.
He likes to share his ideas.
Share them when they're solidified.
Mm-hmm.
Searching for felines near Melmac? You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
If I was to challenge you to name a Disney TV show from the early 90s that could make for a fun film.
Whew, okay. Early 90s.
Early 90s, definite Saturday morning staple. Keep in mind that DuckTales is already back, and that's brought in your Darkwing Duck and a lot of the expanded universe of duck characters.
I don't know if it was early 90s or maybe it was late 80s, but Gummy Bears was always a favourite.
Gummy Bears is great, but this is post-Gummy Bears.
Okay.
It's a couple of characters that before then had just been chummy rodents, but after this were given a serious makeover as sort of great mouse detectives.
Not Animaniacs?
No, that's Steven Spielberg.
Oh, what's that name?
One of them's named after something you could put inside a cookie, a chocolate.
Oh, I can't believe I've gone blank.
Chippendale Rescue Rangers.
Chippendale!
Yes.
I love that cartoon.
So they are being brought back for a live-action movie where they're going to be animated, so it's going to be Roger Rabbit style. It's from Akiva Schaffer, who is from The Lonely Island, and he's the guy that directed Hot Rod and Pop Star Never Stop, Never Stopping. Very, very funny guy, but does lots of weird stuff.
So this is cool.
Apparently he's getting given, they've been working on it for a while, but it's going to be a really meta film.
Okay.
So it's going to be a they're aware that their cartoon characters are living in our world.
Oh, I'm getting slight Sonic the Hedgehog vibes.
I don't know if they're going to be 3D animation or if they're going to be drawn. They're going to be humanoid. They're not going to be humanoid.
Not, okay.
Details are very scarce of what it is, and I'm trying to put it together, but apparently they might go for a Muppets Show vibe. It could be The Office. There's all these different ways that it could be.
A lot of different ways, yeah.
Very odd and not what you would expect from a 90s Saturday morning cartoon.
But at the same time, it almost sounds like they're going to really cater for the people who had watched it back then and not kids.
What the intention with this is, because Chip and Dale aren't huge with kids. You know, they appear on Disney's Mickey Mouse Funhouse and this sort of stuff, but they're not super popular.
Mm-hmm.
But they know they're really popular with the parents that take the kids.
Yeah, okay.
And so it'll be suitable to take the kids, but this is Disney might be trying to make a film for the adults with this instead.
Yeah, yeah.
They also don't know whether this is going to be a full theatrical release or whether this is going to be a big attraction for Disney Plus.
Wouldn't be surprised if that's where it goes.
Mm.
If they want to attract people with nostalgia.
Yep.
With a twist.
Now, are you sitting down?
Hang on, let me. Yes, I am. I just had to double check then for a second.
You're not feeling hot and bothered, are you?
No.
All right, you're about to be.
Oh my gosh, really?
So there was a big bidding war at Cannes. Cannes has been taking place this week, and there's always one big standout bidding war, but the one this year is for a film called Down Under Cover. The film is not shot, it's not made or anything like that, but there was a package put together.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a group of big-name producers that added the Russo brothers at the last second, the Marvel directors and things. It's Chris Hemsworth and Tiffany Haddish as a mismatched buddy cop action movie.
Okay. I quite like it. I think
very
he's funny.
Hemsworth is the detective that has to go undercover with a male erotic dance troupe from Australia.
Of course. Yep.
They're accused of being bank robbers.
Oh, wow.
So it's Point Break, but with the Chippendales. So it's Point Break meets Magic Mike with Chris Hemsworth. He's going to take his clothes off. And Tiffany Haddish is going to say really sassy things.
She's going to be amazing. He's going to be channeling Patrick Swayze.
Oh, yeah.
This can't go wrong.
That was the take of Khan of holy crap, you've just written a billion-dollar check.
Yeah.
that is going to be a huge film.
Imagine if, I won't go too spoilery, but all I'll say is imagine if Chris was not as buff as he often is portrayed in films.
Mm. And it was that one. I don't think it's going to be.
I don't think it will be.
Because
either.
That knocks two zeros off the end of the box office for the film.
That's right. The ladies won't go and watch that one.
So CW had a lot of news about the annual superhero crossover. You know, they always do the three or four shows, big event.
Yeah, it's a big hype.
Well, this is the biggest one yet. And I'm going to talk more about why when we get to what we've watched.
Okay.
Because we've had the Arrow and Flash finales that kind of really set this up. They announced a year ago at the last crossover that this year's one is going to be Crisis on Infinite Earths, which is a huge comic book storyline that saw major events happen that caused all the different universes to fold together and there only be one universe left. So it's kind of the reverse of what Marvel have done of opening their things up of there could be a multiverse of mini stories. This folds everything back in. So if you were going to find a way to say, Supergirl currently exists in her own universe, mm-hmm. away from the rest, and anytime they want to interact with her, they have to jump across universe. Mm. If for storytelling purposes, you maybe wanted to fold all these universes together and make it much simpler, a Crisis would be a great way to do it. So they've announced that this one is going to be five episodes, five shows, because they've got Batwoman on the lineup now.
Yeah, of course.
So, and it's going to be three of the episodes just before Christmas and then two of them in January. That's very unusual. Normally, all of them are blocked out on 1 week. So this is going to be big. I'll get to why when we talk about what we watched, especially with Arrow, but I don't think many of the shows are going to look the same afterwards.
So yeah. This is literally a game changer for a lot of them.
Yes, complete utter reboot for some.
If anything, some freshness into TV series that have been going for several seasons can be a good thing.
Look at Fear the Walking Dead.
Yeah, absolutely.
Blowing up the show a bunch of times and it seems to get better every time they do it.
Agreed.
Getting lost in Robert Ford's narrative. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
Finally, just before we started recording, I saw that the director for the Falcon and the Winter Soldier TV show for Disney Plus has been announced. So it's a lady named Kari Skoglund, who she's going to be directing all six episodes, which is a pretty cool thing.
That is good. Nice consistency.
She does a lot of the episodes of Handmaid's Tale.
Ah.
She's also done a lot on Walking Dead and Fear the Walking Dead. So she's got a good pedigree of stuff.
This is great pedigree stuff.
But the bit that got me most surprised was they've announced that Emily Van Camp and Daniel Bruhl are both going to be returning. They were in Captain America Civil War with those characters. She plays Sharon Carter, who is the granddaughter of Peggy Carter,
mm-hmm.
Captain America's love. But they make out in Civil War. Yeah, it's weird. And Daniel Bruhl played the bad guy, Zemo, the
Yeah, right.
Sokovian guy who manipulated things.
Yeah.
So getting them back is surprising because he's off in jail, as far as we know. We don't know where he's at.
Or is he?
And I won't spoil Endgame, but there was an event that happened at the end of that that made me think, oh, of course, that's where that TV show is going to go. But those two characters being involved make me go,
perplexed.
Maybe not quite that same direction I initially thought.
But do you like that? Do you like that it's not going where you think it's going to go and that you do now have to think a little harder?
Oh, yeah. As soon
or
as
just
I gave
go
it,
in with not knowing?
Knowing those things pivots me in a different direction of like, ooh, if you know your comics, it makes me think maybe potentially Masters of Evil. I won't spoil anything because that would be very cool and it could set up a lot more Marvel movies
further
down the track if that's the direction they go.
Well, fingers crossed then, because that sounds like it's going to be pretty good.
Yep.
Anything else news-wise?
News-wise, there was a trailer for Batwoman. It was pretty cool. I saw one angry guy's like, oh, this just looks like she's going to beat up the Joker by asking to speak to his manager. It looked awesome. Very female empowerment. She's not going to let anyone credit Batman for her actions.
That's good.
Yeah. So that looks sweet. Angel Has Fallen, which is, do you love watching... Do you love watching Gerard Butler do a bad American accent protecting the president?
You know I do.
Do you want to see him get in trouble and framed for hurting the president?
What? Yep. I need to know more.
Well, the third one, Angel Has Fallen, will be out later this year, and you can find out and tell me.
Okay, great. I'm glad that it's my mission, nay honour, to do just that.
Yes, and then no more facetiousness. Trailer that got me amped. You see the trailer for Westworld 3?
No. Do tell.
I'm tempted to stop our recording and making you watch it right now because it's just Aaron Paul.
Oh.
From Breaking Bad. It's just him in the real world. Follow him around. And there's a few shots of him sitting next to a very, very old school looking robot.
Yep.
Talking with a cyborg. And it doesn't connect with any Western robot filled theme park until the very last second when there's a lady crying in an alleyway.
Hmm.
And he approaches and says, are you all right, ma'am? And she turns around.
And she is not all that she appears to be?
Oh, she's someone we know quite well.
Aha, great.
Yeah. Made me go, oh. So a lot of people online were like, what the hell is this? And I just want to chime in and say now, I'll go on record and say it right now. Season 2 of Westworld had a lot of shout-outs to Lost and started Season 2 disorientating in the same way that Lost did. I feel like this is the exact same as Season 3 when we introduced Juliet and we spent the first third of an episode following a character we didn't know, going, how does this tie
in? Where's the connection?
And suddenly there's a bloody train wreck of realization as you, oh my God,
boom,
and then it starts. I think that's what we're going for here, a very disorienting look at what the real world is like for someone who can't afford to go to Westworld.
Yeah, because we haven't seen that world.
No.
Next year?
Yes, 21. No, sorry, 2020. So I'm so amped for that.
Well, that's our answer. What do we do now that there's no more Game of Thrones? We wait for Westworld.
We'll go back and watch Lost again. Tune into Happy. Happy's been great. There's a lot of excellent
stuff
that's out there at the moment. You don't need to tie everything to one. Don't be sad that it's over. Be thankful that it happened.
Absolutely. And if anything, just appreciate the fact that you don't have to worry about any of your favourite characters dying, because then none of them are going to.
That's right. Not that we're going to see anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
That's enough.
You finished? Well, the news at least, because I want to get into what we've been watching.
Oh, can we please?
Yes.
Got a watching suggestion? Email thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com.
Okay, let's do paper, rock, scissors to find out who says what they watched first. Ready? 1, 2, 3. I don't know how to answer that one. You just pointed at me.
Oh, I was saying you.
Okay, great.
My kid makes me do paper, scissors, rock all the time. And I want to say to her, it's scissors, paper, rock.
Oh.
But I can't.
Rock, paper, scissors?
Mm. Scissors, paper, rock is what I was taught.
I actually don't know what I was taught originally.
Scissors, paper, rock.
He did scissors, by the way. Yeah.
Everyone's got their go-to.
Absolutely. Mm. Mine's usually scissors. I watched Nailed It, season 3.
Now, did I see that there was a Sabrina crossover in that?
Can I just tell you how amazing this show is?
Okay, good, because like I saw that trailer the other day at like 3 a.m. that there was a Sabrina crossover, and I nearly texted you at 3 a.m. to be like, oh my God, what?
They always have different guests on as the third judge, and I just love that show. You always watch it smiling. You always crack up at least once during every episode. And I don't know if I've got a favorite, but one of the highlights for me was a guest who said she'd never seen the show before and she didn't have Netflix, but her daughters did, so maybe she would steal their password. She had no idea what the show was about. It was brilliant.
Awesome.
Every part of that show is great, and it's so watchable. You can't just watch one episode. It's not possible.
Is Nicole clearly still loving it?
Oh, she's loving it so much. At one point, she just goes, I'm not going to wear these shoes anymore, and just kicks them off. They just left that in. They didn't edit it out. They just left it in, and I loved that. And I also love the way she says Wes's name, who is like the stage manager or something. She calls him Wes.
Wes.
Amuses me every time. Every single time. Such a great show. This is the third season.
How many episodes?
Oh, man, I can't remember. I'm trying to remember.
Are we talking 6 or 12 or...
I think there's like 8 or something.
Okay.
But I don't know if it is the third season because they had Christmas special. So maybe this is...
That'd be a 0.5.
I guess so.
Specials exist outside ordering. They get the hashtag 101.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. It's such a fun show. If you haven't started watching it, just watch it.
And you don't need to watch from the beginning, do you?
Oh, hell no. If you really wanted to, you could skip on through to halfway through a season and still enjoy.
Oh.
What a show.
Luxury. Choice.
Just makes you happy. What about you?
Oh, talking to things that make you happy. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I was sad that Tanked ended. Oh,
yeah.
Where was I going to get my fish fix?
That wasn't fair for you.
Well, there's a new show that started last night, and I was going to keep it to watch later in the week for enjoyment, but I thought, no, I need to watch this so I can talk about it today. It's called The Aquarium. So just like I love my show called The Zoo, which is all about the Bronx Zoo, this is Georgia Aquarium down in ATL, Atlanta, baby.
Yeah.
And it's the world's, it's the largest aquarium in the Western Hemisphere.
Is that because Dubai has a bloody big one?
Dubai and China.
Oh, okay.
China's got some stonking huge ones.
Okay.
Because they don't give a shit about rules. Yeah, they do whatever they want.
Yep.
This place has whale sharks. Mm. All this like crazy big, awesome stuff. They've got one tank that's like bigger than a football field.
Jeez.
So yeah, it's behind the scenes following them.
Could they have catered to you more?
Nope. And I know I talk about fish stuff plenty, and that means that we've got some listeners that love their fish stuff.
Of course.
So that's pretty cool. I'm also
from,
so you know I'm going to Comic-Con.
Yes, I do.
I'm trying to hook things up because I'm going to go through Vegas because I want to go and see Penn and Teller, but I'm trying really hard to get in contact with the guys from Tanked because I want to have a chat with them.
That'd be awesome.
About what their new show is going to be.
Yeah.
So stay tuned.
Okay. I sure will. Oh, I watched a show the other day. Was it Saturday or Sunday? Might have been Sunday. It's just an afternoon, weekend afternoon, and on Viceland they had Raised by Wolves.
Oh, yeah.
I've never seen this show before, and I love it, and it is my new show that is in the category of why the hell wasn't I told about this before? Amazing. It's so funny. It's exactly what Leah would like. Every single part of it is a Leah show. It's funny. It's from the UK. They don't care. And there's a whole bit in the library that amused the hell out of me for reasons that probably I shouldn't, it probably shouldn't have been as funny as I thought it was, but it was.
Mm-hmm.
And now I just want to watch every, I want that to be like a full-time job, just watching that show until I finish it all. So funny.
Who do we need to talk to about that making your dreams come true?
Well, now I've got Laverne and Shirley song stuck in my head, so that's a bonus as well. No, a really funny show on Viceland. They played maybe three in a row, and I suspect they probably do that every other time they play it.
Sure.
So go and check out Viceland. And also, I did see that Viceland will only have an HD channel now. They had a normal one, an HD, and I saw that at one point in time they were advertising it. They were like, we're going to channel whatever.
Who doesn't use
HD? I don't know. So if for some reason you decide you want to watch Viceland and it doesn't exist, that's why. You've got to find the HD version. It's also 2019, so.
Yeah.
What about you?
So I mentioned that Flash and Arrow both had their finales.
And?
Flash's was quite interesting. All season long, they've been dealing with the fact that his daughter from the future came back in time ostensibly to help him out with something, but we've learned... Yes, there were some ulterior motives and this sort of stuff.
Yep.
And the end of the season saw her had to step up and help save things in a situation that would change the timeline and affect her.
Okay.
And they came up with all these plans for how it would work and stuff. Didn't work, and she Marty McFly'd herself.
No!
Yep.
In that universe, Back to the Future got it right.
Yep. So that is obviously a huge knock, a huge blow that emotionally they will deal with for 9 episodes, I'm guessing, until the crossover happens, universes change.
This is cool.
Maybe she can pop out from the Speed Force having saved everyone.
Or maybe. Never know.
There is potential for her to be involved further. So I was pretty happy. It's been a shaky season. The big bads haven't been great, but there was a last-minute swerve that brought someone from season one back unexpectedly that are now out in the wild to cause problems. So that has me
shenanigans.
Destruction.
Oh, that's more than shenanigans.
Yeah, not shenanigans.
Far out, Brussels sprout.
Yes, so that has me very excited for what this next season could do, especially leading up to the crossover.
Mm.
Whereas over on Arrow, it felt like the series finale. Because they blew up the show, basically.
Oh, that's hard to get back.
Well, like the Green Arrow and his wife, she's been pregnant for a bit. So they take care of the big bad halfway through the episode and then duck off and basically go into witness protection to have the baby and start their life together and things seem quite happy. Last year's crossover, Green Arrow made a promise with a character called the Monitor, who was a guy who jumps between the multiverse.
I thought you were going to say who's a character who has like a wall of screens, television screens, just watches people.
Well, he is basically the Watcher. Okay. So in the Marvel universe, he's called the Watcher. There's someone called the Watcher. They observe key moments. Mm-hmm. In the DC universe, that's the Monitor.
Okay.
There is, of course, an Anti-Monitor, who is the person who doesn't watch, who acts. Mm-hmm. But the Monitor is trying to gather a team together to save the multiverse from an oncoming threat.
Yeah, right.
Anti-Monitor. And last crossover, Arrow made a promise to him that we didn't hear, but ensured other people's safety. So this whole episode goes through, everything hunky-dory, they're in witness protection, they started their life together, he doesn't have to be Green Arrow anymore.
How good would that be?
He achieved the... Who's that at the door?
Oh.
The Monitor's popped in from another universe and said, it's time, you have to go. His wife, Felicity's like, what do you mean?
We're about to watch Nailed It Season 3.
He's like,
I
made a promise, and the Monitor says, I come with bad tidings. I've seen the future. Oliver Queen will die. Like Green Arrow.
Ooh.
Will die.
Ooh.
But if he comes with me,
yeah,
you won't.
Wow.
And lays it out of basically Green Arrow comes with me now and leaves his show to save everyone else. And the show ends pretty much with him walking into this blue portal and going to a different multiverse. This is the character that started the Arrowverse.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
A guy who has no powers. He's good with a bow and arrow.
Yeah.
It's always been street level fighting gangs and stuff. And all of a sudden he's been whisked off by a multiversal Monitor to go and save everyone through a portal.
That's crazy.
So
has it got everybody scratching their heads? Are there theory? Like,
well, the show is locked for 10 more episodes for the last season. So they will have 9 more episodes than the crossover episode where it ends. And that is the end of Arrow.
We could
see it come back in a different iteration because we've also been following all their children 30 years in the future. I could see that being where the show is next year. And we see them for 9 episodes and then Ollie arrives at the last minute for the crossover. On the other hand, we could see the other heroes of Team Arrow trying to struggle and keep everything upright and going without their leader.
Wow.
There's just so many
different
things
fascinating.
It could be. But they literally just went in and blew up the premise of the show.
I love that.
It was the ballsiest thing.
Well, that's great.
The woman that plays his wife has left the show. So that makes it even more confusing as to where it goes from here because the logical step would be we follow her. But the last shot was a flash forward to the 30 years with the kids gathered at his tombstone with the mother, and then the Monitor shows up to her and says, are you ready? And she says, I've been waiting 30 years and walks
Holy
through the portal
cow.
And she's gone.
That's awesome. I love this.
So I have a theory on everything. You know that.
Yes, right.
I do not know what this is going
to
be.
But do you like trying to think about it? Yeah.
Oh, hell yeah.
Come up with the theories. That's what it's all about. That's awesome.
It was awesome. It made me pump my fist and cheer. I'm like, that is ballsy. Just the end of season 7 to destroy your show's premise.
Look, if anything, you know that they've got ideas.
Yeah.
And that's exciting.
And I think they're going to use these 10 episodes. So, I mean, my ideal situation would be it follows Ollie and the Monitor as they skip through multiverses and he picks up different versions of heroes from different universes. So I want him to go to the 1990s Lois and Clark TV show and grab Dean Cain.
Yes.
I don't care that it's Dean Cain today, but get Dean Cain in on the team. Do you know what I mean? Like, this is
so fun.
This is the fun
they
could
do whatever the hell they want.
Yes. They can have an episode where he skips into one of the Justice League cartoons.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? Like,
yes.
They could really go all out with this.
And why not?
Yeah.
If this is, wow, okay.
It got me very excited because I watch a lot of the Disney Marvel cartoons and Guardians of the Galaxy's come back recently and they did a 4-episode arc recently where the characters went in through this mirror that gave them weird powers and stuff, but each of them got split off into their own universe. And so for, like, these 4 episodes, for a lot of it, Star-Lord was completely claymation. And he was in a claymation world.
Cool.
And
that's
Rocket
cool.
and Groot were in different CGI universes.
Yeah,
and they were drawn that way. Gamora ended up in a Disney princess film. All this sort of stuff. But it was the mishmash of styles and it shouldn't have worked together, but it really did.
But it does.
That's where I want to see a live-action version of that, of him skipping along the multiverse, assembling this team of great heroes. It means that you could use people that can't carry their own show or don't aren't big enough to be on another show.
Yeah.
Get Ambush Bug. Get Etrigan. You know, there's so many weird characters that they could throw into this that will never warrant a presence on an actual show. But for a weird crossover like this,
yeah.
Captain Carrot is a Superman universe where they're all anthropomorphic animals, and it's it's Bugs Bunny as Superman, Captain Carrot.
Does Captain Carrot ever travel over to the UK and meet Banana Man?
Probably. Spotty Banana.
Mm-hmm.
Super Ted.
Wasn't the baddie, Super Ted, the baddie in Banana Man, like apple guy, or was it like a guy with a giant apple head?
I think so.
It's been a while since I've seen it.
Me too. Not kept up.
Super Ted, though.
Showing, shibby, and somebody stop me. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
I watched a show that was new to Channel 10 called Five Bedrooms, and it was about a group of people. They were sort of friends. Some were friendlier than others.
I saw a billboard for that.
Yeah.
Thought, might be a nice show. There's a group of people. Unimaginative name.
Yeah, well, as you can imagine, it's about a house that has five bedrooms, and these five people buy it because they know that they can't get into the housing market separately.
Wow, that's not what I thought.
Oh,
I thought it was going to be...
Oh, it was going to be more... Oh, what was
I thought it was
going
to be here's seven characters, there's five bedrooms. Who's pairing with who?
Oh, yeah, right. Do you remember that show? Oh, maybe you don't. I can't remember what it's called. Please email us, thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com.
Don't forget your toothbrush.
No. I'm thinking of a drama from the UK. It had Andrew Lincoln. He played a character called Egg. And they'd all just finished university.
So doctors?
No, that was one about teachers. I'm talking like years teachers. And years ago. And they were all jumping between beds. Not in teachers in this one that I can't remember the name of. Like mid-90s, mid to late 90s.
Not L Word, right?
No. This was English. L Word was American, I think.
Wasn't L Word English first and then there was
I know what you're talking about. Queer as Folk.
That's what I'm talking about.
Still no. So many shows that I can't really remember. Anyway, it's not like that. If I can give you some sort of vibe, it's got a little bit of the Offspring vibe. I mean, there's only been one episode, but it's Offspring, but without being serious. It seems it's going to be more lighthearted.
So it's Australian.
Oh, yeah, it's Australian.
But I just meant it's one of it's.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I know exactly what you mean. It's Australian.
Oh, okay.
Look, I think people are going to watch it. I think people will. I feel like it was a midweek sort of thing. So it was that kind of midweek show where you think, oh, I really can't be bothered with stuff. Just going to watch something that I can also...
It's packed off to the Raft Springs.
Yeah, that kind of... Yeah, that's a good name. Yeah.
Cool.
I think it is by the makers of Offspring.
The promo photos I saw really looked that same way. Same production style.
Yeah. So that'll be a show. It had... what's the name from... Kate Jenkinson from Wentworth is in it.
Right.
Not a huge role, although I suspect she's going to eventually be more and more in it.
Mm.
But I know a lot of people overseas love Wentworth, and I know a lot of people who are overseas who love Wentworth love Kate Jenkinson.
Tell me, so, does the show have a pet, like a mascot animal? Like
not
Country
yet.
Practice used to have the wombat?
I wish it was something like that. We could have like a wallaby or something in the backyard, right?
That's what shows need.
Mm.
Mascot animals.
What you're missing.
Yeah.
Do you remember there was that show that was where the main character was the family dog? It was like the Morrisons, or the dog was called the Morrison or something. Morrison.
Mm. No. Australian?
Yeah, from maybe.
Was it a blue heelo?
I think so.
I'm pretty sure. Mm. I know plenty of movies with dogs like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Australia's done a bunch of them. There's one with a bloody galah in it as well. Sorry. For those of you from overseas wondering why that just happened, if you say the words galah, you must say
the word bloody
in front, unless you're talking specifically about a bird you may see at this time.
That's right.
All galahs are bloody galahs unless you're in visual contact with them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I'm glad you cleared that up. It did have a Pack to the Rafter person. It had that Hugh
Sheridan.
Sorry, you didn't mean to make it sound like that, but he's in it.
Mm.
He's doing an Aussie accent. There's a guy. He's a Stephen Peacock. He used to be.
I'm aware of the Peacock.
Used to be on Home and Away.
Mm. He was one of the boys.
Yeah. He's doing a tradies accent.
Right.
And maybe he's just doing his own because I know he's from Dubbo.
Struth, how many bloody rooms you said this house got?
Five. Wow.
5 rooms?
Fuck. Wow. Look, if it's popular and it means that Australia has another local show, I'm happy with that.
I hope women with asymmetrical haircuts enjoy it.
What have you been watching?
Oh, look, I'll give you one last one. Sorry, I was just channeling my inner Steve Peacock then.
That's really good.
Brooklyn Nine-Nine had their finale this week. It was a two-parter. It was awesome. Jake ends up forming his own suicide squad of all the worst villains the show's had in the past. Yep. And getting them all to come and team up and help out to take out the new big bad.
Yes.
And as you would predict, things don't go to plan.
What?
Hilariously funny. I won't say any more about who the people are, but just holds up really well. It has me very excited for what they could do for next season because they are locked to come back for more.
NBC knew. They weren't going to do one season of that and then let it go.
No.
Well, so that's not what was going to happen.
This finale felt like a victory lap.
Yeah.
It almost felt like that way. Yeah. And the reason why it impressed me so much is that most Brooklyn Nine-Nine finales end with something terrible happening to either Holt or Jake. Mm. And then the first 2 to 3 episodes of the next season deal with how do we get them back to the show and get it back to normal. Whereas the ending of this season was the equivalent of the Curb Your Enthusiasm bom, bom, bom,
yeah, right,
coming in.
Yeah, right.
It just made me go, that's awesome. This change can last no more than an episode, even if they ever address it again. It's so inconsequential.
Amazing.
But it just made me laugh.
It's such a solid show. People really still love it, and I'm glad that it got the platform that it needed.
Yeah.
That it deserved.
That it deserved, I think. Yes.
Yeah. Anything else?
No, that will do you. I've seen other things, but I'm keeping it to myself.
Me too, because we've got to do a little more of this here.
Wickety, wickety, wickety quiz.
Yeah. So this quiz came in by Fran. Came in thanks to Fran. Ages ago.
Right.
Like, I think even the week before Game of Thrones started.
Is this the Game of Thrones quiz?
Yeah, that I keep forgetting to do during the Game of Thrones podcast. And I thought, well, we might as well.
Well, we did
do
some a few days
ago. We've done a few.
Why not?
Let's get into it. Okay, this is where I think we left it. Who said, always keep your foes confused?
Hodor.
Yeah, that's what he was trying to say. It was actually Littlefinger.
Ah, of course.
If I had to guess, I would have guessed Varys or...
Sure.
Hodor. Which of the following characters was not widowed? Talisa Stark, Sansa Stark, Cersei, or Margaery? I don't know why Cersei and Margaery didn't get their last names, but they didn't.
It's got to be Margaery.
No, Joffrey.
Ah, yeah, okay.
Well, Talisa was...
Rob's
wife. Now, during the Red Wedding, who...
She died first.
Okay. There you go. She didn't get widowed.
Oh, wait. No, did she?
It's the right answer.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, in fact...
Yeah, she has to because he watched her get cut open.
Here's an easy one. Okay, fair enough. Here's an easy one for you. Jon Snow's sword's name?
Needle.
Well, I guess...
Technically, that's right.
You were right.
Because all the other swords were gifted to him and they weren't actually his.
So who gave him Longsword, I was going to say. Oh, I've
Jorah.
Lost it. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
And he says something like, family.
Your father gave this to me or something.
Keep this for your kids or something. Who kills Mance Rayder? I'll give you a clue. We were literally just talking about him.
John.
Mm.
And then, oh, symbolism, but I won't say it because it's still too spoilery.
Yep. One more?
One more.
Lyanna Mormont?
Yeah.
And Jorah Mormont?
Yeah.
What's their relation? Like, how are they related to each other?
She is his uncle, I want to say.
Aunt.
She is his
I think so. Or are they cousins? Like, I think they refer to each other as cousins, or maybe at the end.
But I think you and I have had this discussion before of what relation is your aunt? No, that was when I was talking about step stuff.
Yeah, that gets really confusing. That gets
really confusing. I don't know.
Some sort of cousin. Maybe not first.
Pen pals.
Okay.
They're pen pals.
Great.
Yep.
That's really nice.
What other is it? Do we have an exact answer?
Cousins. Cousins. It just doesn't say what. Yeah.
Mm.
Good on the Mormonts. They were really great at being Mormonty.
Mm.
I think that's going to do it for us and for Game of Thrones. If you want to listen to our Game of Thrones stuff, you can. They are all in the feed.
Yes.
And they're called Got Specials.
Bung them in your ear holes.
Yes. Tom, I would like to say thank you to you, and in return you will say...
Hooroo!